I'm a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 389. I'm Adam, and I have been so busy this weekend, I haven't had time to get a quote, but Isabella Pearson here has.
Did I not mention I'm really smart?
And we have Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh yeah, nice cigar.
We have Deborah Melrose.
Come to Daddy, I mean Mummy.
We also have Isla Melrose.
Do you have a quote from the one with the raggies? Just go.
That's a funny quote. We have, this will be surprising to everyone, Mr. Rhys Parton. I should play the Hallelujah thing.
This is proper awesome.
Very appropriate.
Yay.
All right, get me priority jingles folder open. Where's that gone? Priority jingles folder. And the slickness, as usual, on the show for Reese's benefit is... Where's it gone?
Where is it?
I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Is...
Hallelujah.
Actually, okay. Deb's not here. I can turn the output volume on. Hey. For Reese's benefit for a second time. Actually, no, we'll play this one.
Thank you.
Because God knows when he's going to be back on the show. Yes!
And Mary sends her apologies, but she sent feedback.
Points deducted for Mary.
Hey, I lost 30 points this weekend, so, you know.
No.
How did you lose 30 points this weekend?
I kept standing in front of the table at Comic-Con, Island Con, sorry.
Yeah, basically blocking off my display.
What do you mean? What's wrong with that?
Blocking the blimmin' display off. There's a TV playing Doctor Who. She stood in front of the blimmin' thing. Anyway, I'm not gonna.
So I've definitely lost this week.
I'll let you off anyway. I'm not going to do you for those. Right then, I've got to try and.
Yeah, you're not going to have a quiz. That's good.
We are having a quiz.
We are having a
but
quiz.
I can't find episode 2.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
I'm having Doctor Who issues at the moment because BBC iPlayer is only listing the one episode.
Is it?
Yes, it is. So we go iPlayer home.
Oh, is that God. Rosa by any chance?
No, it might be. No, episode 1. So I was supposed to
type
in.
If it was Rosa, I'd be happy to talk about that.
No.
Oh God, yeah, I can't wait till next week.
It's not been very well received.
What?
It's not been very well received. What do you think, Isabella? Quickly, we'll talk about it properly next week.
Me?
Yeah, Rosa.
Oh, it was really good, though, I have to say.
That's not what you said just a minute ago.
It was good.
It was awesome.
Yes.
It was amazing.
What was that second hour?
Last night's episode.
It's been a long time since I've been cheering at the TV, I must say.
Doctor Who's been gone for a while.
I can't, but I'm trying to get this up because the microphone's in between.
That's what she said.
Be quiet. Oh, I'm getting annoyed with an iPlayer now. I'm getting cross with iPlayer. Right, I'm going to go BBC Doctor Who, that'll do it. BBC Doctor Who.
Sound like me.
What, same
when I was young.
I'm cross with it because it should leave. It make it easier for me to find these episodes. I should have had it ready to be fair, but I didn't think
it
was that difficult.
Yeah, dad, God, you should have had it ready.
Right, what's it called again? It's not even here. It's not here. Oh, there it is.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there it is.
Is it the? Hooray! Is it going to play?
We're so slick.
It's blimmin' photographs of it. I don't want photographs of it. Right, hang on. Oh, show available episodes. Hurrah!
Okay, never mind, we found it.
Finally, we get there. Right then. Now, because Kirby's here, normally we get the situation, this is for the listeners, viewers, I do have a TV license, and I do want to watch it now. Just shut your face. Why are we watching...
Drowning
who is this
in
woman?
Plastic.
Right, okay. Now we're on Doctor Who, hopefully. Hooray! Right, yeah. I forgot what I was going to say then. Oh, yeah, because I normally have this set up ready, but I've had a very busy weekend at IslandCon.
Yeah,
really? Shut up! We'll have...
Damn!
Echoed.
That was loud!
Which we'll talk about later in the episode when Kirby's gone to work, if Debbie can hang around.
Can we hang around?
Good, right then. So, we're going to have to steam through this synopsis as quickly as possible, because I don't really think we need to hang around. The Ghost Monument begins with an eye, basically, and them floating around in space.
Ryan's eye.
They should have had their gobs open and not holding a breath, otherwise their lungs would explode.
I don't think they realize what was going on quickly enough. Just kind of.
Yeah, it did seem like that was a bit like a. Oh,
it was a bit of slow motion. But anyway, they wake up on the spaceship, but not on the same spaceship, because it turns out that they're in the middle of a race. And they've been caught off. They actually turned out to be is it bonuses? I think they're called. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Bonuses. Yeah.
Yes. As we find out later. So the doctor.
And,
yes.
And who, Master?
Yes.
Who was getting a fifth doctor vibe with the race in space? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it wasn't quite enlightenment, was it?
No.
Yeah. So. The doctor is with the chap and the doctor and
he was apparently on Broadchurch.
Was he?
What?
Apparently. I haven't seen Broadchurch.
Oh yeah, he's one of the suspected rapists, wasn't he? I remember that now. Yeah. Well done.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't surprise me. You're going to get a few Broadchurch
people,
especially with Chibnall and Whittaker.
Yes, they all get on rather well, don't they? Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the doctor's in the more rickety of the spaceships because she's starts out. She's having an argument with is it Espo or something like that? It's been Minena. Is it Espo or something like that?
Espo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Espo.
Yeah. And
Epso.
Oh, Epso, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Epso.
Yes. So,
okay.
Yeah, so, and then
I will be losing this quiz.
One point.
Jazz wakes up in the middle of this argument, and the doctor's basically sort of not impressed with this spaceship at all. Shut
and
up, Alexa.
And Alexa was just activated.
It's like me.
Oh, I don't know that.
Right, you've got on the turner up.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Anyway, they're crashing. The rickety spaceship is crashing. Eventually
and that sequence is brilliant because when Yaz wakes up, it's just one continuous shot for most of the time on that ship.
Oh, I didn't spot that.
Oh, really?
Yes,
yeah.
It is, yeah.
I didn't spot that. That's really cool. And, of course, there's...
I've just clicked into that section, and I'm seeing it changing scenes and cameras constantly.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does, but for...
when she wakes up.
A big chunk of it, they recorded it, and then they cut to close-ups.
Okay.
They tried to record most of it in one go.
Was there an extra that was put out about that I missed?
Yeah, somewhere on the official YouTube channel.
Okay.
Ah. But, yeah, that's... There's
I love that channel.
Manual
I
overrides
a whole lot
and
of
stuff.
Extras for Ghost Monument for some reason.
Hey, sorry.
I didn't watch a lot of extras for Ghost
Monument. I haven't had a chance to watch any of these extras. Although they come through on, if you buy it on iTunes, you get a load of extra stuff come with it. You know, the series pass.
Auntie B puts out a whole bunch of them, and BBC America puts out the same one slightly re-edited.
Okay. I haven't seen any of them. I should really watch them. I don't think I've seen any of them since Capaldi became the Doctor, because we used to have Doctor Who Confidential, which I used to watch, but since they put all these things out in little tiny snippets, it's not as engaging for me as Doctor Who Confidential used to be.
I miss Doctor Who Confidential. That used to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they both spaceships, and it's beautifully shot. Crash land. One lands comfortably on the planet, and the other one crash lands. But
yes.
the shot of the woman's spaceship, because she's got a complicated name, so I'm not going to say it. It's lovely. This is all shot in South Africa. I think they shot a few bits of episodes in South Africa because it's still being mentioned in the credits.
Master.
I don't think the master's in this.
I was a bit bothered during the crashing spaceship sequence. Why can't people run to the side?
Yeah, instead of in front of it.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
That was annoying, but the crash looked amazing.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. It did really look good. Very sort of thing you'd see in the cinema, sort of special effects.
Very cleverly shot, too, because the cameraman was obviously running backwards. So he pointed the camera down a fair bit and only caught glimpses of the ship as it was sliding across the ground.
Well, anyway, the spaceship, one spaceship lands nice, the other one crash lands with a bit of difficulty, which at least Orion has the sense to run.
Yeah.
may not have a lot of coordination, but is that a Rift Valley they're running down? It doesn't look big enough.
But then, of course, like in the movies, someone has to trip over.
Yeah, that's you, in early Doctor Who, that used to be Susan. And I noticed he didn't twist his ankle and they didn't use any cold water rags to...
There were plenty of rags around. But
yeah.
Later on
in the episode, yeah.
Sorry, there's definitely water around.
So, they arrive...
Don't mention the rags to Isla, she's terrified of them. It's all right.
Oh, dear. That was your fault, Deb. So they land on the planet and they set on their way across this very beautiful deserty thingamajig, and then a tent appears.
Where have I seen this?
Space cop in the desert.
Yes, it's the greatest show in the galaxy. I'm just waiting to see some.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
As soon as they walked up in the tent, I think Jeff Waddle and I were both on Facebook at the same time, going, "Great British Bake Off and greatest show in the universe."
Yeah, the Bake Off reference was quite funny as well. Yeah. Galaxy, no.
That's what I meant.
I've got a twirl bar and a picnic bark here, but Galaxy's Isabella's thing. She likes quite a Galaxy
bar. I like Galaxy.
Galaxy is the best.
So anyway, they meet Art Malik in this tent. And
Where have I seen him?
Everywhere.
Lots of things.
He's a great actor.
Well, I'm very surprised you asked that question, Kirby, because there's a thing on the internet that's called Google. What you do is you type in someone's name, and then it leads you to a Wikipedia page. It's completely inaccurate, but it does give you a certain guideline as to where you may have seen him before.
I am very busy.
Oh, he's very busy. That's the one I started with, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, they're on the last stage of the race. The Art Malik chap tells them what they've got to do in the last segment, and they've got to find this ghost monument. And did anybody twig by just the title of the episode what the ghost monument was?
Oh, yes.
Jeff Waddle did.
Did you know that it was
a secret TARDIS either?
Yeah.
Yes. Badly disguised secret.
It's a complicated
It's a really badly disguised secret.
It may not be complicated, but at least there's not as many plot holes in it as his predecessors tended to be.
Yes.
You point one out, and then we can discuss that.
What, a plot hole?
Yeah. But
that's
he got
a point.
Tied up eventually.
was there a plot hole?
No. Not in this episode, but I'm just saying with Moffat, eventually they all got tied up, but you just had to wait for
To be fair, though, yeah, he did tie a lot of them up, but not all of them.
People would complain, and then he finally put together some sort of stupid explanation. Yes.
Well, Matt Smith would leave early, and he had to answer everything in one episode.
So anyway,
let's move on.
So they're given the instructions and what to do in the next segment of the show, and they've got to find this boat, and they did find the boat, and it's quite interesting that Ryan and Graham were the ones trying to get the thing going again.
Yeah, that surprised me. Now, Master.
Yes.
This water is filled with bacteria that eats things.
Yeah.
What has it been eating?
Each other?
I guess. Oh, Venusian Aquino! Yes!
That's the point. Lovely little reference, and about time too, I have to say.
Mm.
And I hope she uses it a bit more often as well.
And it was so well done, the way she used it.
Yeah, it was. But it was great. That was really good stuff. So at least he's doing the odd little... Because obviously new Who fans haven't seen the Pertwee era. They would have enjoyed that. And us older fans will enjoy it because of the Pertwee reference. Did you have any?
I hope we eventually get a
You wouldn't have known about the Pertwee reference, that would you?
No.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that particular Venusia Nikedo thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There. Yeah. That's one thing she was missing. The hi. Yes. But she had said hello to everybody in the story.
It was understated this time.
Excuse me. Point deductive for talking over my joke.
No
point deduction.
It's all right. You're the only one taking part in the quiz.
Right then. Anyway, so they eventually, like I say, appears that Graham and Ryan find the secret to getting the machine going. And then we see a few little boring little scenes, well, character building scenes.
I got the impression it was the doctor who.
I thought the doctor started the boat.
Yeah, but she let Ryan and Graham look like that they were.
They started to. They had some ideas about what the issue was. Yes,
well, that's
what. That's what I love about her. She's enabling other people to do what they're good at.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So we have a few scenes where the main characters have conversations with the Doctor, just a bit of background, you know, coverage.
Background to the race.
That really slowed the episode down, but it was necessary.
To just have a character build a little bit and know why they were doing the race and, you know, why they...
This was such a story-by-numbers episode. That was such a shame, because they could have...
I don't know. I really liked it.
I liked it.
They built the contrast in the two guest characters, and they were played really well. Like, the story when he told about his mum getting him to climb really high on the jump.
Yeah.
And then her love for her family was, in contrast to that, was... I thought it was really interesting, and the two actors were brilliant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually, like I say, they get from A to B. And we have a little taster of the relationship that Ryan and Graham are having. It's obviously Graham's absolutely desperate to be recognised as granddad. And
Ryan's being a stubborn 19-year-old.
Yeah. Anyway, they show up at this place, which is a beautiful ruin of what looked like a partly built hotel. But it was... You couldn't find a place like that in Britain, couldn't you? But it was totally effective and totally believable for the place they were looking for at this part of the story. Mm. And then some robots turn up. And, of course...
Oh, they were cool.
Yeah, they were cool.
They were cool, but also the fact that they hadn't been activated until Matey shoots one of them. And, obviously, the Doctor's way of disarming them all.
As soon as the Doctor says, we need to peacefully and quietly walk past them.
And, oh, it's so beautiful. The scenery in this episode is amazing. And, of course, the Doctor solves everything by finding some wave of electromagnetic EMP. Stuff. Yeah.
Just an EMP. And I was watching an episode recently. Yeah, I think I was going ahead with the Fourth Doctor once, and wasn't there an EMP in one of those?
Don't know. Was there?
I know. I just saw something else where the Doctor used an EMP. Oh no, it was the Tenth Doctor. I watched with Fred. We watched the Titanic one, and Bana Cafalata.
And his
EMP.
Cyborg!
Okay.
Yeah, we just watched that last week.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well done. Once activated, the Doctor sort of knocks him out for a bit. Is it Espo or Epso?
Huh?
What's his name?
Epso.
Yeah. What?
If it were an EMP, they wouldn't have rebooted. It would just simply fry their circuits.
Whatever. They obviously got a way of rebooting, so as they can carry on in the episode, but being a bit of a threat.
Well, yeah, for story purposes.
Yes. It's a science fiction fantasy TV show, which they can do essentially what they want with.
Is it? Really?
Right. Anyway, so they get a bit of respite to search through the tunnels, and they eventually come across a sort of inner sanctum where there's like computer screens and CCTV. That has a lie down.
Floor.
Yeah, Ezra has a lie down because he's in a bit of pain from his injury.
And
he can nap anywhere.
it was his fault anyway that he got shot because he actually shot the robot in the first place.
Because he was an idiot.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
And then, do you know where your evil sentient towel is?
No, I don't know that, to be fair. And. I love the fact that, in a way, that Isla doesn't like the scary threat that attacks Epso, What got me was quite funny is that you heard these muffled screams. I don't know if it, because it covered his nose as well, whether they really would have heard it, but they did, and they rescued him. But they were quite effective.
Science fiction fantasy.
You heard it.
Do you know what it reminded me of a little bit? The mummy rags in some of the mummy films where they sort of come around and attacked him like that. But it was a really, really good scary little sequence. I quite enjoyed that. And the tunnels are amazing.
Something you'd see out of a horror movie. Mm.
About the, how do you pronounce that race again? From the first episode.
Yeah, the teeth guys.
I can't remember the
name. Tim Shaw's.
The Tim Shaw. Yeah.
Tim Shaw.
No, his race there.
I know.
Yeah, Strays or something? Straps? I don't remember. Tim Shaw.
Yeah, never mind.
Stenza, yes.
So, anyway, the tunnels are great.
There's a moment when Graham confesses that his wife died because of them, and then the other lady, whose complicated name I can't remember, she said mine too, and it was just a very touching little moment.
Engstrom.
And Ebso.
All right. Thank you, Kirby. We have only got an hour left, so shut your face. Right then, where do we get up to? as I was saying, the tunnels are lovely. I'm quite impressed with those tunnels. They're really good. Or corridors. I don't know what to call them.
Running down corridors. Are those also in South Africa?
I don't know. You tell me. You seem to know everything about Doctor Who.
Wasn't a set?
It might have been a set, but if it was a set, it was an amazing set. It could have been a green screen, computer generated thing. But either way, it was really cool. There was a point
a shot where they're all running, and then the Doctor uses her sonic to shut the door, and the way she's standing there. There's a bit of water reflecting her standing there. It looks great.
No, absolutely, it's beautifully directed.
Yeah, I wish I could get Julia to watch these shows. You know, she's said that she hates Doctor Who forever and will never watch Doctor Who again. And
cool, right.
I think she'd really enjoy these.
Point deducted for her, then. Anyway, so there's a shot of the...
I can't get Mary to watch either. I've just got Fred watching.
Well, that's no good. Well, good Fred. Anyway, say three suns in the sky. There was only one slight thing about that that bothered me. There was only one shadow. I would have thought that three suns in the sky would have...
There was something else about that that bothered me.
Three shadows. What?
It was... I believe they were given one solar rotation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing. Which
sun were they rotating around?
Well, they move pretty much in sync, so it's
There must have been some very interesting gravity wells going on.
Are you sure? The solar rotation, though, doesn't that just mean that the planet rotates?
In the Moffat era, there would have been an explanation for this. In Chibnall's era, it just happens.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue. I think anyway. So they eventually get up through the a flight of stairs, which Ryan doesn't like ladders. But anyway, they do get it, and they get up onto the surface.
That's a great moment too.
Where the gases are there,
and then Chekhov's cigar is brought into
yes.
Yeah, well, so they get up to the surface and get attacked by these sort of clothy things,
towels.
Who talk a little bit like the what are those things in Slytherin? The Gelf, was it? You reckon they talk about like the Gelf?
And they refer to the timeless child as well, which is going to be recurring.
Oh yes. I wonder what that is and what it's in reference to. It's Susan! No, I'm only joking.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah? Anyway, so once they've they throw the nice, neatly inserted cigar that only lights when you click your fingers into the storyline, and it's lobbed up in the air and she clicks her fingers and it ignites the gas.
That was a great effect.
Oh, it was great. I did like the way they say it.
Just click your fingers at random. Like, say it was in your pocket.
Yeah. What was I going to do? Click, click, click. Ow!
Of course,
I'm holding my pocket. I'm mildly annoyed. Yeah.
Anyway, they get to the place where the ghost monument's supposed to be, and the tent reappears. But they're now going to fight over which one's actually won. But the Doctor comes up with an idea. But initially, Art Malik won't have it. No, I'm having one winner and none. And of course, the Doctor persuades him otherwise, and they're both allowed to win. And they're all taken away with the tent, leaving.
The Doctor isn't the one who persuades.
Who is it then?
It's
Graham.
Ebso.
I thought it was Graham that did it.
No, they were going to think. I thought it was The doctor says, "Well, I've got an idea. Could I make a suggestion?" That's what she says.
Yeah.
And then they go in as joint winners.
Epso is the one who argues with Art Malik and basically convinces him this is what we're going to do.
Okay, if you say so, but I think I felt the other way. I felt the doctor's suggestion.
The doctor did suggest it.
Okay, well, then I'm right then, aren't I, Kirby?
You are.
There you go. See, Reese has got the right idea. Gets his point back.
Yes, stroke your ego, and then I get a point.
So anyway, the bloke says yes, so joint winners, and they sort of zaps them away, leaving the doctor and her companions basically stranded. And she thinks, mm-hmm. That's the end of me quest. I've just got you lot killed. But then this little rumbling noise appears
around them at this point in time.
And the TARDIS appears. So yeah, she's quite pleased to see the TARDIS, like an old friend's just appeared after many, many years. But she hasn't got a key. But the TARDIS lets her in anyway.
Why was I thought the key was supposed to be behind one of the letters on the top of in the police box sign.
Oh, you're so
pedantic. Remember?
The TARDIS has done a rebuild and everything, so the key's gone. So I'm sure the TARDIS will give her another key. But yeah, the interior of the TARDIS I thought was quite nice. A bit too big for me.
It looks like one of those lamps, the Himalayan salt lamps things.
Yeah. It looks also like a bit of a bad rendition of Tennant's TARDIS with those sort of crystal things, just called beams.
Yeah, I don't like it. I hope it grows on me because I don't like it.
The custard cream dispenser is genius.
Yeah. I can't eat.
Now, I was reminded.
Love custard creams,
don't you?
Okay, they give me indigestion. I remember what they tasted like. They were lovely, but if I eat one, I end up with very severe indigestion. So it's not really worth even eating them. Anyway,
love custard creams.
Yes.
I need to go back since this season is over. Mm-hmm. Series. We're going to be going back and starting Invasion of Time.
Yes.
But the walls remind me of how in the Invasion of Time, the President's office, the Fourth Doctor's office.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. But at least it's got a mixture of round things and sort of there's a bit of a mix match of all the new Who TARDIS interiors, really. There's a bit of rounding. There's a bit of Matt Smith's sort of hexagonal fixtures in it and a bad rendition of Tennant and Eccleston's sort of what do you call them, crystalline beams. But at the end of the day, the TARDIS is back, and it's quite nice to have it back. And I do like this little spinning glass TARDIS that's on the dashboard.
And the hourglass. Yeah, I like the hourglass.
Cool. Yeah, and I'm not too keen on the centre rotor anymore. I do like it to have the round thing with it, even if it's got crystal. All it seems to be is a girt crystal thing that doesn't look like
it's
crystal.
It's the Himalayan salt crystal lamp.
Yeah, but it looks like fiberglass, and it's actually supposed to look like crystal. But,
right. Yeah. Right. And we actually saw it moving up and down in Rosa.
Yeah.
So
So that is essentially the end of the Ghost Monument. Right. I'm going to say what I thought about it. I enjoyed it more than I did Episode One because it was a standalone episode of Doctor Who. We didn't have to go through the Doctor sort of becoming herself and introducing new characters and stuff, so we already knew the characters to a degree, so it was just nice to watch an episode of Doctor Who, and it was beautifully shot, and this, like somebody said, it's a fairly simple storyline, so, but at least it's a storyline you can follow and it's not too complicated, so you can just enjoy it for what it is, which I did. So it's not the best ever again, but it is better than last week, and certainly solid and pretty good Doctor Who. What did you think about it, Isabella?
I have to agree with you there. I thought it was definitely better than the first episode. Really good. Loved it.
So what did you think about it, Kirby?
I liked it. I liked it better than the first episode. I wish we had been able to talk about it before we saw Rosa, because Rosa was just so damn good. It was really coloring the my perception of this story, the Ghost Monument. Ghost Monument was good.
I will say, you're talking about Rosa, and we are allowed to talk about it, it has been out. I'm not going to spoil anything, but not everybody liked it. So it'll be interesting to see when we get the full... you know, the full load of feedback coming about the story.
Who didn't like it?
I'm not saying. But I haven't seen. I know
people
somebody.
Who don't like
Jeff
Waddle. Whittaker is the
well,
doctor.
Maybe so. Yeah. But I know Jeff Waddle posted something on a thread in which somebody liked it, and then we all didn't like it. So there are not everybody likes. Not everybody's.
Jeff liked it. Jeff,
well, Jeff likes everything at the moment. Mm.
So, yeah, Jeff is really surprised.
And,
yeah,
it's absolutely wonderful.
It. He's saying it's the best Doctor Who for a long time.
Yes,
so, yeah.
And that pleases. It warms my heart because he nearly did a Ben and abandoned Doctor Who. But I think Ben. When he swallows his pride a little bit and actually watches the series, he may realise he's missing out.
It's
hopefully that'll
come. Same thing with Julia.
But he is quite stubborn. Ben is very stubborn. But no, this is the thing. He really shouldn't get around to what. No. Have you finished, Kirby?
Yes.
Okay. Debbie, what did you think?
Better than the first one. It didn't hold me. I find Chibnall is very basic in his storytelling, I do find sometimes, and this was no exception. I am quite anti his style of writing, I think, but it was sumptuous viewing, and it was a great way of getting the Doctor to the TARDIS. I was worried we were going to spend the whole series looking for the TARDIS, so that was great to actually do that in the second one, because I wondered if we were going to go for the whole travel through time, different people they meet through time. You know, when they did that whole intro of all the characters, I thought maybe we were seeing everybody who was going to help them get to the TARDIS. But no, it's standalone episodes, so that's good. Mm. I really enjoyed the baddies, the bad towels, and
well, it's nice to have a proper scary.
Isla's out of the room at the moment, so yeah, she was terrified. She was crying. I offered to stop watching it, you know, but no, she wants to carry on. There's our target audience right there being terrorised by Doctor Who, which is what we all were. So that's perfect. Yeah, perfect. I've actually witnessed her doing that. I mean, the first time I saw her do that was with the Bastion Narada, and then it was with these towel things. She was absolutely terrified. We've had to deal with night terrors that have evolved them since. Yeah, so yeah, it's been an interesting time. But I just felt Jodie is just fantastic as the Doctor, and that bit, you knew it was going to happen, the bit where she doubts herself, because obviously it was kind of obvious they were going to get abandoned, and you knew she was going to do that whole, I've let you down, oh my God, I'm not as strong as I thought I was, I'm not as brilliant as I thought I was. They all go through that after they've regenerated, and it was great that it happened just as, you know, with the way they did it with the TARDIS arriving at the same time, just to validate the fact that she is the Doctor and she is fabulous, was just brilliant. I liked that ending very much. Again, I didn't like the interior of the TARDIS. I liked the outside very much, but I didn't like the interior. Isla, what did you think about it? Because it wasn't good. It's not been two great stories to lead in, but now having seen last night's episode, I am absolutely thrilled. But after watching this one, I was a bit worried about where we were going.
I love last night's episode.
We're not talking about last night's episode.
We're talking
about the one with the towels.
It was a bit too scary
for me. Oh, that's a good thing.
Definitely, I liked the first one better.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you,
Why
Isla.
Did you like the first one better?
Because I liked Tim Shaw, but I didn't like the bands.
Fair enough. You have to get her closer to the microphone, though, Deb.
I will, yeah.
I could hear.
So could I, but
I can hear her.
But it's just sounds like she's talking from the other room. What?
She is over the other side of the sofa.
Ah, there you go then. Yes, yes. Thank you, Isla. Yeah. Yes, Kirby.
Yes. The actress who played Engström.
Yes.
She played Aunt Alice in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
The main character's aunt who gets killed.
Oh. Thank you for that.
I'm assuming you saw Ready
Player
One.
I haven't seen it.
No. Oh, go see it.
Spoilers, Kirby.
Gosh.
Reese, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I apparently am one of the only ones here who liked the first episode more. I think the first episode had more layers to it because it was introducing the new characters. But something I love about a standalone episode is that you get to know characters more, and that's exactly what you need for a second episode. You need to get to know the new Doctor, you need to get to know the companions, and Graham has got such a great sense of humour, as depicted when, in the first episode, he says, "Why is she running towards the other alien? Why are you all running towards the other alien?" And in this one, he says, "I wish things and people would stop putting things in me without my permission."
Yeah.
and things like that. He's just got a great sense of humour. I like that Ryan's dyspraxia is being included a fair bit, because I guess it's a form of representation that they chose to include, but it also, it's another level for his character, which led to a beautiful moment of the Doctor once again encouraging somebody else when he's worried about climbing up the ladder, and she speaks in his vernacular by saying that she thinks he's done an amazing job so far to gone through what he's gone through, losing his nan and being stranded in space, and then finding himself here struggling with something as simple as climbing up a ladder. And then she goes, "I'm proper impressed," and he's been saying proper this, proper that throughout the two episodes, and she picked up on that, and I thought that was a really cute, subtle form of encouragement. I'm not the biggest Chris Chibnall fan, and so we're going from, to be honest, my favourite writer for Doctor Who and my favourite era to something I've been worried about, because he's quite simple and quite doesn't give as many explanations as Moffat will give, although I'm free to admit most of Moffat's explanations were made up garbage and were put in there just to I know, it's kind of,
he liked to over-explain, didn't he?
Yeah, it's either wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey or this causes this to happen, which causes this to happen, which causes this to happen, and it could be convoluted. I get it. But I enjoy that more than just, oh, the TARDIS is somehow out of phase, which is one of Jodie's lines, and or the Doctor's lines, actually, not Jodie's. but I will accept it because everything else is working just brilliantly in these episodes. They look beautiful, and this one's no exception. I loved the location. And I loved also, and this is a bizarre thing to pick up on, but when they filmed in Utah, they always made a big deal out of it, but I didn't know excuse me, where they'd filmed this season, and so I liked that I got a desert seemingly out of nowhere. I didn't know that they'd gone to South Africa and all the various places, and it looked great. And like I said earlier, the incidental characters, I wasn't expecting them to be so fleshed out, but they were, and it really worked, and they were nice contrast to each other, but a good contrast for the regular characters. So it's character driven, it's a pretty plain story. It gives us the new TARDIS, which I'm also not too sure about. I think it's too dark on the inside. I'd like to see more of it, and then maybe I can make up my mind. And we also got the opening credits, which we didn't get for the first one, and they are gorgeous.
Yes, brilliant.
But overall, for me, not a terrible episode, but certainly my least favorite of the three, followed by the first, and then Rosa is just one of the best episodes within ever. The last five ever. Years, I reckon. But probably ever, yes.
Doctor Who fans have doubled down on a controversial episode, really?
Which, what are you on about?
I'm looking up Rosa's stuff.
Some of the reviews, yeah. Like,
so I'm just getting this makeshift blindfold for Isabella.
Okay, now that is just extremely rude. I can't see.
Right, because I need to print off the questions, which don't appear on my iPhone's pages. Well, that's the idea.
Okay. Isla's left the room, so she's not part of the quiz.
Okay.
Oh, is that how we get out of it? Okay, see ya.
Don't worry, Reese, I haven't taken any notes.
Oh, she always says this.
But also, it's a Chibnall episode, so there can't be too much to pick up on, right?
I actually think I'm not going to do that well.
There we go, she said that last week.
No, I don't think I am this time.
I said if you were bored, you could go. And you left.
Stop arguing, you two. Right, then, let's have a look at what people are saying on the live Facebook TV feed. Four viewers, it's just... I know, who's there this week? Well, why is it not scrolling upwards? We've got... it's like Killy Burt Jite. I said that wrong. Billy Kirchhoff said, no way. Don't knock the microphone.
I
don't know if I've got this in the right order, which is... we've got to do it the reverse order. Alan T. Butcher, hi. Billy Kirkbright.
Hi.
And Joshua. Hi. Joshua Zybal. Emoji with love eyes. That's obviously looking at me. Yes, Kirby.
Who all is still on the island after the convention? Is Alan T. Butcher still there?
No.
He left yesterday.
He got fed up with Deb and left. I love the fact that, just by way of interest, if you're watching on Facebook, that bits of dust are being lit up by the light behind it. And yeah, we can see
the lights on.
Brilliant. Oh, nice one, Deb. Point deductive for getting rid of Isla. Right then, Joshua Dybel says, hello all. Billy Kirkbright says, hello, Alan and Ian, by the way. And then Billy Kirkbright says, nice to hear you, dulcet tones Reese. That's the first time they've been described as dulcet, eh, Reese?
It certainly is, yes.
Reese Parton says, yeah, that's why I'm here, Billy.
There was a previous comment he made about how you've adjusted the recording for our time zone. It's more convenient for us.
Well, yeah, I think I'd prefer it this way, wouldn't you? I mean, she wouldn't be able to do it anyway because she'd normally be at school. Ian Kirk posted his script. And then Billy Kirkbright said, no way, you've changed the schedule. Oh, yeah, that's at the top, yeah, you silly man. They're all in order. And that's as far as it goes. It's all fading out at the top of the page. I can't read it. Anyway, so that's it for just to keep up to date what people are posting. Well, we've got 6 viewers now. My goodness.
Because I'm here.
He's probably here. Well, if you told your friends to join the group, then they might be able to see you on here. So, oh, look, I've got last year's Comic-Con T-shirt on. I should really be wearing this year's one.
Did you get one?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Debbie. Because nobody would lend us £10. We had to get it off her.
Yeah, it's so rude.
to get the T-shirt.
While I was playing Fortnite.
Because they wouldn't accept
the T-shirt was only £10?
No, it was £12. £12, Burby.
£12. That's still not bad.
Yes, no, it isn't. No, it's very true.
Ow, ow, ow.
I don't know. I just got some money off Isabella and went and got it there.
While I was playing Fortnite. That was so rude.
Were you wasting money on Fortnite? That's correct,
I only spent £5.
That's a waste of money.
No, but I've still got a load of other stuff.
Still a waste. Yes, irrelevant. Right, then we'll talk about that later, because we've got to rush through the stuff before Kirby delightfully goes off to work. Now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Oh, already?
Yes, already, because we're Right then, yes, we're doing it now, Kirby, so as we can get it in before you go. And if we can get all the other stuff in before you go, then all well and good. Isn't that right, Reese?
Yeah.
He's gone.
2 points to Reese. All right, nobody, Deb, you got your points rescinded. I was only joking about the points. That's just a way of trying to keep you in order.
So rude.
I was trying to keep
you.
Debbie,
gave me 2 points earlier.
I was trying to give. Oh, did I?
Yes, you did. You're so rude.
Okay, what did I give? I don't remember giving you at all. But yes, no, I was just trying to keep Deb in check. And it worked to a degree. Okay, so Reese, who do you think is going to win?
Wrong area.
All right, thank you. Reese.
Who do I think is going to win? I'm just thinking.
He's thinking.
Isabella.
Isabella's quite good these days.
It's not a bad actually shout, to be fair. Okay, Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Isabella.
A bit pear-shaped for
her. We're going to regret
Izzy, who do you think is going to win?
I think Reese is going to win.
That might cost you the game. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Isabella.
Why is it not typing an I?
I don't want to see myself.
Oh, look, your I come up as a italic. How funny.
Wow.
Oh, it's not doing it. Oh, it is now. Right then, Reese, who do you think is going to finish last?
Me.
Shut up, Debbie.
It's me. I've got a new team member.
Isla. Oh, yeah, it is in the background.
I'm going to go for Debbie because that was a bit mean.
You're going to put Debbie down, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, that might.
I think I'm going
to
lose.
That might cost you.
She's putting herself down, isn't
it? Okay,
that?
Debbie, who do you think's going to be last?
Isla's put her hand up, but yeah, me probably.
Izzy, who do you think's going to be last? Today'd be nice.
I said Debbie. I don't want to be mean.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Kirby?
Being mean. I'm better at classic. Hoops.
Kirby, who do you think's going to be last? Kirby.
Oh, me?
Yes!
Me.
Oh, me? Me?
Me.
We're picking on me a lot today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor old me.
So, the scores at the moment are... We got
poor
everybody.
Old me is wandering around with Clara, remember?
We'll be quiet.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yes. So, scores are at the moment in joint last place, Debbie and Kirby with no points, and the joint in the lead, Reese and Izzy with 2 points each, and everybody has a joker, and if I say you won't get this one, it doubles the possible points for that question. Question number one goes to Reese.
Yes.
Whose eye reflected the stars at the beginning of the story?
I know.
Ryan.
Oh dear. Should have played Joker. Debbie.
Yes.
What could Yaz smell when she woke up? And it wasn't a fart. What could Yaz smell when she woke up?
Gas?
I know.
Well, the thing is, it's a... And Kirby knows.
Oh, she says she can smell burning. I don't think she. It was specific what it was.
Yeah, all right. The answer is burning, yes. Okay.
Jeez, yes, be more specific.
Yeah. Isabella.
Yeah.
What should be on Antiques Roadshow?
I know.
Manual field shield. I can't say it.
Spell it.
Evacuation.
Oh, that'll do. Evacuation. Manual shield activation is the words you were trying to say.
Yeah, because I spelled it wrong.
It was nearly right. That's all right, I've given you the point. Kirby.
You mean the thing underneath the floorboards that had no real purpose except to be a prop to manipulate?
Yes, Kirby.
Neither the shield. You needed to activate it manually. That's a big purpose.
Yes. right, Kirby.
Master.
What did the doctor suggest jettisoning? Jettisoning. Oh, God's sake.
Joker.
Yeah.
The back of the spaceship.
Yeah.
I suppose that'll be all right for the answer, even though it wasn't what I had written on paper. Essentially, it was right. Right then, 1 point in the bonus pot. For this question, what did the doctor say as she stepped out of the spaceship?
I know. Sorry about that.
Of course
you
know. Pardon?
I know that one.
Go on then. Izzy knows. Go on, Izzy.
Sorry about the mess.
Yeah, the correct
answer. Did you know that one?
Yeah.
I didn't know that one. Cool.
Well done, Isla. Right then, so. Back to
Reese. Paying attention to the good stuff.
You should have used your Joker.
Yeah. Reese. No. No, not for 1 point.
Yes.
Nah. That's where I was now. All right, yeah. Who did
you're on the Isle of Wight.
Shut up. Who did the doctor borrow sunglasses from?
I know.
Go for it, Isabel.
No, it's you. Oh, you don't know, Reese. I'll take it.
I don't know, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do this. And Izzy knows.
Audrey Hepburn or... I can't pronounce that.
Speed, spell it out.
Pythagoras.
Yeah.
Right, point deducted for Debbie for jumping in.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks.
No, that's what she was going to say, so she does get the point.
Excuse me. Oh, sorry.
Jim, did you play
Isabella
joking?
Was going to say.
No, I didn't, because it wasn't my question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm chugging Diet Cola this morning to try and wake up. Sorry.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Oh, hang on, I've put too many points on it. That's not, right, isn't it?
No, I wasn't. I had five.
You had five. Okay. Yeah. Well, sorry about that. Now you got 56. And
today's winner is.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
All right.
That was Reese's question.
Shut up. All right. Stop harassing me. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor call the implants?
standard procedure.
Oh. No. Anybody?
Universal translators?
Don't
no.
have a clue.
No, it was Medipods.
So they got them from the Medipods.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. Yeah.
Medipod put them
she
in.
Caught.
Yeah.
She looked at them and
but
said Medipods.
It's standard procedure.
Oh, be quiet. There's 2 points in the bonus.
When they woke up, they were in the Medipods.
Yeah,
not,
be yes. quiet.
Shush, children.
Lord, right then. Whose question was that for?
That was for Debbie.
Right, so, yeah. Izzy.
Yeah.
What is the race called? What's it? What's the, that's the title, the race. And the story, what's it called?
I actually don't know.
Anybody?
The Rally of the 12 Galaxies.
Well
done.
I don't know.
Yes, well done, Burby. All right, so it's Kirby's question.
Master.
Where did I get the right? All right then. Who names the site Ghost Monument? Who named the site
I know.
Ghost Monument?
I don't know.
Oh, so there we do this. And apparently Isabella knows.
It's hard to pronounce his name.
Oh, God, here we go.
Willem.
That's also wrong. What? So that's good. That's well done. And the answer was you can't. You can say so, but you don't get any points.
Yeah, it was the ancient settlers.
It was the ancient settlers. Yes, well done. Okay. So who's that question for? I'm losing the plot here.
That was mine.
It's Kirby, wasn't it?
Right. So there's 5 points in the bonus pot. Woohoo! You play your joker on this one. It could be a.
Okay.
A lot of points coming in. So this is the question. How old was Epso when he climbed the tree?
I know.
Yes.
Joker.
Yes.
Wait, let me find it. Let me find it.
Either. Come on.
Four.
Oh, eventually. Hang on. Say again.
Four.
Oh, missed it. Oh.
God.
Oh, that's funny. The sight's just gone. I think the fee's just stopped somehow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not even on for an hour.
Yeah, I know. It just stopped and it's still on. Oh, it's still on. Something went funny.
Uh-huh.
Right, so that 5 points goes out of the bonus pot into Izzy's account into 10 points. So there we go.
Oh, do
Joker played. Right then, back to the top of the page where Reese is.
Yes.
Right. How many stages are there in the rally? You won't get this one.
The rally.
I know.
I'm just going to go for a wild stab in the dark and say 5,000.
Apparently Kirby knows.
There's 209 terrains and 94 planets.
Wow.
Oh, I had that.
Double points there for Kirby. Nice. Again, 8 points for that one. Well done.
Do you remember that?
Impressed.
You remembered that? Oh, Isla apparently knew that.
Did she? Debbie.
So did I. I mean,
yeah, so did I.
Yeah, you did.
Debbie?
Yeah.
Debbie?
Yes.
What was Angstrom's planet called?
I know.
Oh, God.
I know, too.
I don't
know if I know.
You don't know if you know?
Helpful.
No idea.
Okay, all right. I think Izzy said she knows first.
Yeah, Izzy's got it.
Alba.
Is the correct answer. Alba. Right then. So, Izzy's question.
Ye.
What type of robots did they find?
Sniper bots.
Oh, good lord. Oh, my phone just went ding for you. Very useful time to go. Ding. So we do that. Right. Gotta do the scores in a minute. Kirby.
Master.
How had Ryan trained for the battle?
I know.
Oh, Call of Duty.
Yes.
There's somebody at the door. That's correct. Call of Duty was the answer. Right then.
Fred liked that.
And bonus pot, 2 points.
Okay.
For this question. In the tunnel, what did the doctor say she loved?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Go on in.
A big locked door.
Oh, yeah.
She did indeed say that.
Oop. Yeah, and that was great. I loved it.
Right, so the scores are, in last place with no points, it's Debbie. In third place with 4 points, it's Reese. In second place with 12 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 19 points, it's Izzy. This is Reese's question. Reese.
No.
Who were coming in? That's a bit of a generic question. She knows, so that's a good question then. Who were coming?
I need to remember how to pronounce it, but the Stenza.
Oh, you should have played your joker on that one, but never mind. Yeah,
I should have done, but you know what? I haven't played in so long.
Oh, don't use excuses, Debbie.
No. I'm not making an excuse. I'm admitting I made a mistake. There's no excuse. I just forgot.
All right, then Debbie and Reese.
It was very Lord of the Rings bit, wasn't it? You know,
Debbie and Reese have not played their jokers. Right, and Debbie, this is your question.
Yeah.
Who saved Enzo from being smothered to death?
I know.
Well, who then, Isla? The other pilot.
It's the correct answer, but unfortunately I need a name.
Angstrom.
Whoa! Hey!
Should have played my joker.
Yes, you should. Right, Izzy.
Yeet.
What was at the top of the ladder? And don't say a lid or a roof. It's above the thing when they...
I think I know.
It's like a gas... like a deadly gas. I forgot the name. Yeah.
Well, that's your point of it, though, isn't it?
I know. Yeah,
Kirby says, I know.
The acetylene.
Yeah.
It's a correct answer. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What did the rag creatures see in the doctor's mind?
What did they see in the doctor's mind? The timeless child.
It's a
which
answer.
Is going to come back to haunt us.
Yeah. 1 point in the bonus pot for this question.
Okay.
What was the name of the man in the tent?
I know.
Go on.
Lil.
Lilin. Yes, that'll do. Lilin.
Lil. It's hard to say his name.
Oh, Malik, yeah.
Yeah, right then. So, there are two questions left, and they're all free-for-all questions. Kay. And Debbie and Reese have not played the jokers, because if you've got a joker left, you get that point deducted from what points you have left in the quiz.
Oh,
or,
God.
If you do play it, then you have the chance of doubling.
All right. I give up with this quiz.
Just so you might as well just play your
so
joker
confused.
If you can.
So,
I'll be quiet. It's quite a simple rules of this game.
So it's for everyone, then?
Free-for-all
yes.
means for everybody.
Free-for-all
right.
means everybody.
Right. I'm dumb. Okay.
Question number one free-for-all is, what was Ryan's opinion of the TARDIS?
I know.
Go on, Nim.
I know, yeah.
Reese.
This is proper awesome.
Yeah.
But you didn't play your joker.
That was your
quote. You didn't play your joker, so unfortunately you only get 1 point for that. Because that was... Oh, no, yeah. No, you get 2 points, but you might get that point deducted. You get 2 points there.
Okay.
Right then, not Debbie. Sorry, next question. What did the doctor find on the console?
I know.
Yeah.
Joker custard creams.
Oh, God, I was
going to
say that.
Is that a Batman-themed custard cream?
All right. So...
custard cream. Whoa.
No, Reese is
so Reese gets the point deducted for not playing his joker. So that's it for this part of the quiz. Before we do the tote up, in last place with 7 points, sorry, 6 points was Debbie. Third place was 7 points, Reese. And second place with 15 points is Kirby, and then the lead with 20 points is Izzy. Right then. Reese predicted Izzy to win, and Debbie to be at the bottom.
Yay!
Debbie predicted Izzy to win, and Debbie to be at the bottom. Izzy predicted Reese to win, and Debbie to be at the bottom. And Kirby predicted Izzy to win, and Kirby to be at the bottom. Right, so the final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One are... I get the thing tune ready. In last place, with 24 points, it's Debbie. In third place, with 28 points, it's Reese. In second place, with 30 points, it's Kirby. But the winner this week with 40 points is Izzy.
Whoa!
Well
done. I see.
There you go. Well, that was a surprise, everybody, wasn't
it? Ida likes the music.
But the predictions are nearly ruined it for her. But I do love the fact that Isla's so loyal to her mummy that she got upset the fact that mummy did really rubbish in the quiz.
In the rubbish.
Well, I love her too. I love her too. But
so cute. It's disgusting.
But I do relish the fact that she didn't do very well in the quiz.
Master.
Yes.
I'm going to have to excuse myself for a few minutes. I'm not leaving yet, but I have to go upstairs.
I think my...
Too much cola, Kirby. Too much cola.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right, a live video has ended. Oh, we'll have to restart it then, won't we? Right then, so just restart it.
We've got Mary's feedback on our 20 megabyte page.
I've got a spinning disc of doom at the moment on the thingy. Okay, let's go live video. Starting back up again. And do another 3, 2, 1.
Go on.
And we're back with no viewers at this particular stage. Right then, so now we're going to go on to feedback. Apparently, I've been advised that a certain. you said it. What's her name? Mary. You said she sent it on the 20
megabyte. Yes, I've got it here if you want me to read it.
Oh, is it written?
Yeah, she wrote it on our.
Oh, well, then please do.
Facebook Messenger.
Yes. Read away, Mrs.
Okay,
R.
Okay, I'm not
going
to do the accent because that's just wrong. Okay, my thoughts on Ghost Monument. This is from Mary. So, did you want to do her intro or are you happy?
Oh, go on then. Okay, this is what Mary thinks.
I'm still feeling so-so about the series so far with this new episode, and I can't really explain why. Snap. Jodie Whittaker's Doctor is spot on. The filming is gorgeous, and the acting generally is very good. I love the opening confusion over where the main characters have turned up and the alien field to the planet. I rolled my eyes at the typical way that movie and TV characters always run away from an oncoming threat by staying directly in front of it instead of taking sideways evasive action. I can already see that the Stenza is going to be the series' enemy arc, as well as Ryan's disability and his relationship with Graham. Maybe I find the story so far very predictable, or maybe the multiple companions is an issue. I want the Doctor to be involved with aliens or challenging periods in history or the future, and not be tangled up in companion problems. One last observation. The TARDIS appears to be a throwback to the mystical, magical, prop-heavy ship flown by the 11th Doctor. Is this wishful thinking on Chibnall's part, giving us a Doctor that embodies Matt Smith's qualities and a TARDIS that does the same?
Oh, I just knocked my microphone. Sorry, listeners. There's a clonk in the ear hole. So, is that it?
That was it, yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Mary. Thanks, Mary.
I'll check your inbox if I were you, Deb.
Oh, God, hang on. Yes, you can have another biscuit.
Thank you.
Keeps tapping biscuit. I'm actually on my page and nothing's popped up yet. It's because I live a few more metres down the road now. It takes a bit longer to get here. No, still nothing.
Come on, refresh it.
I have.
Oh, well, while your slow internet catches up with itself, we'll move on to something else. Mine's gone really slow, actually. Help. Isabella, help.
It's there now.
Jeff Waddle. Jeff Waddle says, do you want to read that? No, you can't. It's very small text. I'll do it.
Yes, you read it.
This is how you do an alien planet. Hang on.
Yes.
Oh, it is. It is the right episode. Who has never looked better? Never looked so alien. It makes a mockery of that awful episode with the London double-decker bus. Strong performances, a small cast. It's a good quest-type story, as Who Has Done. There was no real surprise that the TARDIS was the Ghost Monument, you're telling me. But so what? I've seen a lot of comments of that the robots couldn't hit a barn door and the cigar was signposted, who cares? Robot soldiers have been like that in every sci-fi story ever made and could easily be explained by the fact that they'd just woken up. And... Yes. Hadn't been active for goodness knows how many years. The cigar was obviously going to be useful, and yes, as soon as they mentioned the gas fields, you had a fair idea what was going to happen, but there's seldom been a Who episode where you didn't have an idea what was going to be the get-out. I also see a lot of comments that Jodie has not felt like the Doctor and has not had a standout Doctor moment, but that's the whole point. She's understated, but in charge, and there's enough power in her that's going to burst out when it's required. So to hell with the naysayers. I'm absolutely loving her performance, loving the season, and can honestly say it's easily the best way to it. Sorry, on the way to being the best since it's come back. What a breath of fresh air after so many years of just treading water. Thank you, Jeff.
Who's saying this?
Jeff Waddle.
Okay. Jeff.
I'm back.
Oh, I've still not got your thing through, Adam.
You haven't got my thing through?
I haven't got the feedback that you've sent me through yet.
Yeah, that's right. I'll send it again then.
I've refreshed my page about 5 times.
I'll send it again then, Mrs. Melrose. Oh, I thought I sent it to you. Maybe I sent it to the wrong person. I'll try again. Debbie Melrose, that's you, isn't it?
Yes.
Why is it not coming up with your doodah? I'm getting a bit confused there.
I beg your pardon.
Well, it's not coming up with your. Well,
I'll try to click on my doodahs just fine.
Yeah, but I'll try to click on message. It's not coming up with anything. I'll try to messenger them. How weird. It seems like it's gone to someone.
Everything's. All my stuff's up and ready.
Oh, I bet it is. Well, I'm trying to send you a message at the moment. Oh, no.
God, it's just getting worse. This is a hole, Lila. This is called how you dig yourself deeper into a hole, darling. That's it.
There we go. And I should be able to send it to you now. I did send it to you. You saw me send it, didn't you, Izzy?
I don't
know. Ah, now we've got the little thing saying something's coming through. There we go.
Yeah, well, I did send it to you before, but it obviously didn't get you. Right, let's see if anything come through on the Facebook feed. Nobody's watching. We've got two viewers, but no comments. So you can carry on then, Mrs. M.
Okay. Wacky races. The next generation or the competition was intense. Nah. Dear 20 megabyters. Took you a minute. Dear 20 megabyters. The Ghost Monument is of course a closely studied comparison of capitalism and socialism, playing out the difference between individualistic competition versus altruistic collectivism. Angstrom and Epso have come to their extremely competitive lives from very different motivations. One from deeply instilled individualism, which is the outfall of abuse, and the other from a desperate struggle to improve her circumstances for fear of her and for her and her family. Under the influence of the Doctor, the space racers eventually realise that they have reached their goal, having both contributed in one way and another, and therefore insist upon taking the prize together. It should be noted that while some suggest that it makes no sense to run in the same direction as the crashing spacecraft overhead, if you aren't going to outrun it, we must remember this always happens, so it is probably a natural panicked reaction. We also learn that the Ricky, who used to live under suspicion in Broadchurch whilst two of the doctors were there undercover, went on to be a ruthless space racer who was a big fan of self-lighting cigars. All in all, the Ghost Monument is somewhat more simplistic rendering of broadly the same plot as The Lord of the Rings. It continues effectively the introduction of our new characters, having transported them wholly out of context. The quest and the fish out of water scenarios serve this function very well. Quest is the quest. But we must hope some more elaborated stories await us from now on. The look of the episode was, however, a couple of steps above your average Surrey quarry, and there were some very effective, scary moments. The Doctor is settling very well and quickly infusing her way of behaving into her group of friends by example. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as if you had the extra time available, you could have a better developed story and still continue to introduce the new characters. Next up, Doctor Who and parking in the 1950s, or the race to catch the bus. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Mr. Alan T. Butcher, after finding the time to do that. After.
And so I'm just going to address this issue. Isla, when I'm reading feedback, don't climb on that.
That's painting a picture in everybody's minds, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. Right, we've established that.
Well, thank you, Alan, for doing that whilst being busy at the con.
He was great. He was the second Doctor all weekend.
He was indeed, and we've got to do this.
Hello, 20 Megamark Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
The Ghost Monument by Chris Chibnall. Wacky Racers and the Gumball Rally on location in South Africa.
Me.
There are three sons, but they got the shadows wrong.
That went right over Isabella's head.
There was also a bus driver in the desert in David Tennant's Planet of the Dead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have three companions and two guest stars, so not everyone gets a lot to do. Ryan gets an African-American themed story next week, and Yasmin will get to go to India. There's a rule in script writing that if Chekhov fires a phaser in Act 3, it must be prominently seen in Act 1. Therefore, the self-lighting cigar is prominently displayed early on, and is later used to defeat the cloth creatures. The story is set on a planet that had been so ravaged by war that no one survived. Worse than Skaro. The TARDIS crew must cross the planet with three dangers. The deadly water, like the Keys of Marinus. Killer robots. The cloth creatures. The cloth creatures were really angry.
Yes.
There is no fabric conditioner on that planet. I don't know.
Oh, that's got to be worth one of these. Oh, my mouse is going...
Brilliant, thanks Ian. No, just seeing if anybody's posted. Did anybody... Alice Butcher's back, and then he says hello, and then she says, nice to see Adam filling in for Andy by bumping his microphone. Oh, dear. I hit it with my hand like that. So. Right, so that's what else we've got coming up.
Did you stop the feed and
it
restarted?
Stopped. And
it stopped. Yeah, you were upstairs.
It stopped because...
There's a whole bunch of comments on the dead feed.
Oh, is there? But carry on with that, then. I'll see if I can find the dead feed.
The dead feed.
This is very awkward. This is 20 megabyte. There he is, 20 megabyte. Dead feed. Right, I can't see dead feed on it. Dead feed. That's the current one. There's the one that's dead. Here we go. Most relevant. Hang on, why is it not coming up? 12 more comments. Aha. Has the feed stopped? Yes, it has. No, that's all right. Where you got a bit? Oh, well, not that many. We've got Joshua Dybel looking cross.
Well, it looks like it starts with Billy.
Billy? What is it? That was a, we did those. Oh, Lillian's legs.
Is she there?
Lillian Robin said, I've got to head to work. Ghost Monument was good. I said Ghost Monument. Ghost Monument was good. Yeah, thanks, Lily. She's gone anyway. Lillian's gone. Lillian's legs are still there, though, according to Kelly Burt Bright. And then he said, hello, Alan and Ian, by the way. But he did that one. Then he says, and Joshua, hi. And then Alan T. Busher said hi. And Lillian said hi. And Alan T. Busher did a weird emoji face. We had Ian Kirk's script. I thought we already did this. And then we're going back.
Maybe you did it while I was upstairs. I wasn't upstairs that long.
No, I don't think I did, actually. So let's see if I think somebody must have posted a request for feedback on the...
I posted it.
All right, let's see what we got.
It says there's four comments.
And probably all from you.
No.
Jeff Wardle, we've already had yours, but he said, ooh, we can kid on what we think's going to happen in the next episode after already watching it and appear a right smart ass. Laurie Nick says, it's 5 a.m. PST. And then Jeff Wardle said, that's what it is for Kirby, Bartlett, Sloan, whoever he is. Laurie Nix, so that's 2 a.m. I'll be up, not. And then Lillian Robin said, I liked Ghost Monument, loved Rosa. Not sure if I like the idea of Tim Shaw's people being the season baddies. You are recording during the time I'm getting ready for work. Sorry, I'll not be watching the live stream. That's not good enough, Lillian.
But I thought she was watching the live stream.
She was for a bit, and then she went to work. And then Alan T. Butcher said, looking forward to seeing Tim's brother, George Bernard. My machine is not playing there.
Good.
Well, what about not looking forward to seeing John Pertwee's first companion, Liz? Oh, right, fair enough.
Sure.
No, I'm not going to do that because it wasn't even funny. No. Right then, that's about it for feedback. I can't say if there's anything else coming through, so we're going to have a look at Doctor Who News. Never mind that.
Since I'm going to be leaving soon, yes! I'll have to hear all about IslandCon later.
Yes! Right, so Rosa overnight viewing figures, 6.39 million. Not too bad. We were getting like 4s and 5 last year. NASA names constellation TARDIS.
Really?
That's what it says. Scientists working on NASA's Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope have named Gamma Ray Constellation TARDIS in a tribute to the Doctor's time and space machine. There you go. That's good, isn't it?
Well,
I don't care what you say. There's some publicity pictures from Rosa. There's a trailer which is worth playing because we're going to talk about this next week.
Operation Rosa Parks. We have to make sure we keep history in order.
Can I help you?
Are we actually leaving? Not in a million years.
There you go.
Don't forget to click below and subscribe to the official Doctor Who YouTube channel.
No, I will not roast.
How do I click below when I'm listening to it?
Shut up, Kirby.
On my podcast player.
Shut up, Kirby. Doctor Who Magazine 531 is on the verge of release. It's got a picture of Bradley Walsh and Jodie Whittaker on the cover. And talking to Bradley Walsh, who's a very talented all-rounder, I did post a link on our 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, of lots of funny clips of him cracking up on The Chase. Always worth watching, because he does tend to corpse quite a lot on the programme. So I would love to see the outtakes from Doctor Who, because I'm sure he would have corpsed on several occasions during that as well. Lavazzi have released a season 18 burgundy scarf, but slightly shorter version. So if you're quite short, you know, like say, I'd say 5 foot or less, wearing the full length scarf is going to be a bit hazardous. You're going to trip over it, basically. So for the height challenged people, vertically challenged people, the shorter scarf might be for you. That's at lavazzi.co.uk, everybody. And we're trying them with Who Won being at the convention this week. They're quite keen.
Who won that Coda UK?
When I spoke to Nick and his dad, his dad was particularly keen on the idea because he came over to see us. I thought that was very nice. Nick's dad came over to see us. I think Nick came over to see us. I did get a picture of Nick by our stand. But anyway, he was particularly interested in a business arrangement with Lavazzi. So hopefully that will come into play and they'll get more stock, and when they come to the Island Con next year, preferably within our Doctor Who zone, having a proper Doctor Who zone would be quite good, then we'll
I will have know more about that, but I'm gonna have to run. Can you tell me one thing before I leave? Was it a successful con? Is it going to occur again next year?
I have no power over whether it's going to occur next year, but it was successful. But they were selling little trinkets which were characters that the crew had made up for next year's convention, so that indicates to me that he's coming back.
All right, well, I'm going to go, so goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. When are we recording?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, right usual.
Now.
Okay.
Right now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Zygon Hunt on vinyl. Following a sellout success of Big Finish Productions' limited edition Doctor Who stories on vinyl earlier this year, Audio Company have announced another exclusive release. Sainsbury's will release Doctor Who Zygon Hunt, starring Tom Baker and friend of the show, Louise Jameson.
I love my vinyl, so I'm going to get some.
And the Woman Who Fell to Earth tops charts. So it says a Doctor Who, Woman Who Fell to Earth, was the most popular, sorry, most watched programme of the week on British television with 10.9 million viewers. Woo! That's good for Doctor Who. They would have kept a few viewers after that anyway, so that's a great start. And as far as first episode final ratings for each Doctor is concerned, Jodie wins. Just by 0.09 million, because Eccleston had the most on his first viewing of all the other Doctors. So well done, Jodie. There's some little teasers for episodes 5 and 6. Got the names. Was that a bit of a spoiler to give the names out? No?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you can find them if you want to see them. Go to DoctorWhoNews.net, where all this information is readily available. So yeah, I'm not going to go too far down. There's actually quite a lot to read down here, but I don't want to hold out. Oh, we've gone down to the William Hartnell bit. That was on last week. So there we go. That's news. We've spoken about the sponsors relevant to the convention. Now, Kirby was when we said about the Doctor Who Zone. We'll talk about the Doctor Who Zone first, because when we arrived on Friday evening, the map quite clearly planned out that half of the length of the hall would be the Doctor Who Zone and the other half would be the cosplay zone. Sadly, because I finished work at 3, which was 2 hours after the setups begin, a company selling Funko Pops had actually taken up most of that space, because the crew
way too much of that space
didn't know what they were doing. So basically, they'd also put in a Harry Potter trader and the other part of the space where the cosplay zone was supposed to be, which that then got condensed down to about a table's width. So we got, I'd say, about 3 metres squared, where we had to fit a full-size TARDIS, not us personally, but a full-size TARDIS, a canine and a Dalek, and our table.
Well, yeah,
and our stuff.
They thought that was going to be their area, because that was what they were designated.
Yeah, so basically our area was completely removed. Now, they even published in the advertising that we were going to have a viewing tent. And as soon as I arrived, we were hovering around Ben, and I said, that tent's not going up. And Ben said, well, what's going on? And he had a look and said, well, that's not supposed to be there. But by then, it was really too late to remove the traders that had gone there.
So I reckon they could have moved them. It was just boxes. They could have easily
Everything was in, yeah, but everything was on the shelf. All their stock was up and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't supposed to be there.
They weren't supposed to be there.
They should have moved.
Yeah, well, if it happens again.
I still hold we should have moved them if we could have.
Yeah, maybe so. But they weren't very nice people anyway. But yeah, so that's that put an end to the viewing tent. So if anybody complains about the lack of a viewing tent, well, you blame the traders who nicked our space. So yeah, that. But we made good of what we had, and I think the Doctor Who slot as it ended up being, rather than Doctor Who's own, actually was very, very successful. If not,
it was popular,
grand.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
The fact that we were showing all those wonderful episodes as well. If we had a tent, it would have been so good because so many people came back to watch more and talk and you know.
And certainly it engaged Paul and Sylvester when they. Were there as well. I wasn't there much on the Saturday, but I did hear that that Paul and Sylvester and Sophie, you know, did actually take interest in.
They kept coming round when they were going through and everything. They would always slow down to stop. And Sylvester told us about that Patrick Troughton was his doctor, and he was talking about remembering watching that. And then Paul McGann came around yesterday and talked about he didn't recognise Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah.
Really? No.
Yeah. Exactly. And he'd already forgotten flirting with you the previous day.
Oh, I didn't care about that.
Nah. But yeah, so
found somebody else to flirt with.
It was a typical friendly, as it was the previous year, very friendly and fun and enthusiastic event, and perfectly positioned in. Cowes Enterprise College, which I like to re-emphasise was my idea. See, that seems to have fallen by the wayside, the fact that it was my idea the stages there in the first place. It did get a mention initially when Ben published We Are Doing the Con at Cowes Enterprise College. I'd like to thank Adam Pearson for the idea. That's as far as that bit's gone. But there you go.
It was a great setting.
Perfect setting, in my view.
I was talking to Alan about it, and I went to Brighton Comic Con a couple of years ago, and it was bigger and better than that. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, it's the largest independent convention of its type, because it's not essentially a Comic Con, although there's lots of comics, lots of Comic Con features there. But it's a pop culture convention, which I think is probably a better way of naming it, really. But it's Island Con, and it's an amazing event, and it's amazing for cows, I think it will go from strength to strength, especially when, you know, when the celebrities go back to the mainland. So it's a lovely place to go anyway, the Isle of Wight, and then you get to meet these really enthusiastic, lovely people and stuff like that. So
It was great. It was so well attended, and there was such a good vibe about it. It really was.
So, but before,
they could have signposted it a bit better. When we came in yesterday, everybody
The signposts were up, weren't they?
Pencil drawn signposts.
But that's quite charming. It was a school. And it's still a school, and I think it's nice to have that sort of slightly school element to it, having the signs drawn in that way. I mean, if I'd had my tent up, I would have had to have done a sign viewing tent, which I never got to do. I'm glad I didn't print off that one, because that would have been a waste of time. So moving on.
And I'm going to keep those questions Kirby gave me for next year.
Okay. Izzy, now, I'm not, apart from having to play Fortnite for hours on end, what did you like about the convention?
Well, there's a lot to say about what I liked about it.
Come on, then, say it then. This is your platform. Say what you liked about it. I'll open this parcel over it.
Why are you opening the parcel?
Because I'm eager to see my little trophy for when I pass my professional photographer's exam.
Okay. Well,
just tell us what you think. Come on.
Yes, we're eager to hear it. Speak.
Okay, stop stressing me out, gosh.
Now!
Stop!
Just, what did you... Tell you what, Isabella, when you first got there, what was your opinion? When we walked around that first morning before everybody came in, what did you think about
it? Yeah, I thought it was going to be really good. Because there was so much there, and there was enough for everyone. There was so much room. It was just amazing. And... thing is that
Adam's not very good at muting himself.
I'm sat next to her. Shut your face.
The good part about it was that you couldn't get bored. There was always something to do there.
That was the problem with last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you could get a little bit bored.
Yeah, you could get bored because there was legit nothing to do anymore.
I wouldn't say it was that bad there last year. Before.
No,
it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but there was, it was just...
You could just go round and round and round this one.
Yeah.
That you could just keep going. You didn't reach an end and have to turn around.
Exactly.
That's the point. There was always it was a circular route, whereas last year it was a C-shaped route, but you had to keep them backtracking. This one, it was more of a walk-through experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I loved about it.
So you were quite disappointed, because last year you struggled to keep it going for 2 days.
Oh, God, yeah.
You said that you wish you could have been there for the whole weekend. Look at that thing of beauty.
What?
My British Institute of Professional Photography trophy. I've never had a trophy before. I'd like to thank...
Well done. Congratulations. Isla got a trophy last weekend for her Irish dance.
Oh, congratulations, Isla.
Oh, congrats, Isla.
So what was your highlight? Now, what was the thing you liked best? Not, and don't say Fortnite, please. That would be very, very annoying. What was the thing that you were, you know, that
just bang.
You take away from it the most?
The cosplay gang.
Shut up, you.
Pretty much, buying all the things, my things that I really...
And what did you buy?
Too much.
Go on, things that stand out for yourself. What did you buy?
mostly Marvel and Stranger Things.
Yeah, you got a bag, didn't you?
Merchandise. Yeah, I got Stranger Things bag. I was shook. Debbie, you saw my reaction when I got that bag.
Yes. Yeah. mine when I saw my Labyrinth one.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get much actually. I got a Raj Kubikali Funko Pop, which retails on Amazon for £230. I got for £50. It's going to be a present, and I also got a Leonard Hofstadter Funko Pop to go with my little collection of things that are going to become more valuable in time, because they're not available to buy at the moment. They've been discontinued, so I'm pleased to get those. That's all I've got, really. I've got a t-shirt.
I've got loads of things.
What did you think then, Isla?
I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, brilliant.
I picked this with some of my favourite characters from my favourite movies.
Oh, good. Who was that then?
All the cosplayers.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And you had fun with Sylvester McCoy.
Belle.
Oh, yes.
Merida,
yeah.
The Green Ranger.
Oh.
You saw everything, didn't you? Heart. Yeah. And what did you like best about the con?
My favourite bit was my... Ladybug badge.
Getting a picked badge of one of your favourite people.
Yeah.
It was mainly all the cosplayers, because everywhere you went, there was a mummy, I saw so-and-so. And it was fantastic.
So
element of everybody just being together and dressing up. And
well, I heard that Isla charmed Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah, you spoke to Sylvester McCoy and he whistled for you, didn't he? Because what were you talking about? You were talking about his hat with the birds under it and as Radagast. Yeah. She recognised him from The Hobbit. She went, "You were in The Hobbit, didn't you?"
And I can say that...
They were talking about a hat and...
Sylvester and Debbie
I heard Sylvester whistling. And I didn't realise that he was doing it for Isla.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Well, I picked up Deb to finish off the wedding on Saturday night when she left the convention, all she was going on about it was the time she had with Sylvester. She was quite taken.
Oh, they had a great chat, yeah.
So, yeah, that was quite nice to hear. So, what did you think, Debbie? What was your sort of take from it?
Aside from trying to get over how irritated we were about the fact that the zone was a slot,
yeah. I'm glad I got over that on the Friday, so we can get on with it over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is it. Next year we're going to be there staking out the corners, telling people to go away. No, we're apart from that, I thought the response to us being there again was brilliant. Lots of people who were there last year recognised us. And I got a lot of people talking all the way around. When I went for a wander on the first day, people recognised the T-shirt from the advertising as well, you know, the 20 megabyte, always the Doctor Who zone. And I'd explain that we're more of a slot, but come and find us, we're with the TARDIS, come and talk to us.
Yeah,
and
the TARDIS was a good focal point for us, wasn't it?
Yeah,
at least we could say, go to the TARDIS, you'll find us there.
Yeah, exactly. It was always the case of that. And then yesterday with the cosplay thing, it was I cosplayed yesterday and... It was so much fun, the feeling that you can, you know, because I used to get bullied for being a geek, and here I was with my own, and it was really good.
Yeah,
it just felt right, you know, and just the feeling was as good as last year, if not better, to be honest. It was just so friendly, happy. Everybody was just having a good time. The stars were, by Sunday, the stars were really relaxed and just wandering about and enjoying themselves as well, because they were all geeking out too. So it was just brilliant. And I thought the way the talks were held was really well organised as well.
Alex Watts was brilliant.
Just the different zonings, apart from obviously our issues, was brilliant. The kids zone and Star Wars zone was brilliant. The traders, they weren't just all in one room, they were everywhere. But there was such a cross-section of them, although Funko Pops were everywhere.
Yeah, they were.
There was lots of other people. There were lots of other traders there, lots of handmade stuff, and a lot of local people. There was lots of Wonder Woman. Oh, yes, Isla. And lots of figures of Wonder Woman, yes, Isla. Yeah, she was dressed as Wonder Woman, Isla was, so, yeah, she noticed that a lot. But I just felt it was so good. The feeling was really good, but... remains to be seen, because I know that there was a few issues on the Saturday night for the stars that it wasn't actually at the con, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some more back and get some people who couldn't come this year to come next year. It would be
absolutely
terrific.
Especially Sean Astin, who
yes please
but obviously I did so obviously substitute my shoot that I was going to have with him for Paul McGann, which worked out really really nicely.
So that's how I did mine as well.
Yeah. So we better move on to the interviews. Now, these are uncut. I haven't edited these, so even though if I sound like a bit of an idiot during these particular playbacks, it's because I expected to edit them afterwards. But we're going to play them raw. So here's Paul McGann. Good, and then we'll carry on. Right.
Hello. Hello. This is Mark McGann, and you're listening to the 20 Megawatt Doctor Who podcast. Paul McGann.
He was being silly.
I keep getting
mistaken. Mark McGann, the one that's in... Call the Midwife, is that...
No, that's Stephen McGann.
Oh, I do get a bit confused.
Well, we're all fairly interchangeable, you see.
Oh, well, that's good. So, cause when he's... Stephen McGann's not available, you can fill in.
Paul couldn't make it today because he's had a better offer. So this is Mark, who's sitting in for him.
Well, can you pretend you're Paul?
Okay, if you pretend you're Jonathan Dimbleby.
Okay, I'll try and pretend I'm Jonathan Dimbleby.
Or Michael Parkinson.
Sound anything like Michael Parkinson.
Go on, what?
You're, I'm Paul McGann and you're listening.
No, I've done that bit.
No, you haven't. You said you were Mark McGann.
Well, now we've established that team. None of us is who we say we are. Let's continue.
These actors are so awkward. Yeah. So, I'll tell you what, Paul, right? Obviously, we did the convention last year, and obviously you couldn't make it through work commitments. It's wonderful that you're here today. And having that sort of big build-up to this year after last year, how do you feel it's gone?
I've really enjoyed it. This is the second day, the Sunday of the weekend. So about a day and a half, and it's been lovely. You know, we do them around the world, and it's always lovely doing one that's friendly. You know, I'm saying that because there's no guarantee. Some of the shows, you know, some of the ones, they're big and not, you know, they're a bit too much. They're intense, you know. This is great because you can talk to people. I like that. You know, because when all said, we're all fans. We're all fans of stuff. You know, we're here to, you know, particularly with the Doctor Who thing, you know, you're here to meet about something that we're all into, we all love, and you want to talk about it, and you want to hear people talk about it. And I like that.
Well, this isn't obviously specifically a Doctor Who convention.
No, I know, but, you know, but this little corner here.
Yeah, that's what
I love that.
Which is fantastic that we have a representation for Doctor Who fans here, because I think Doctor Who fans are probably the biggest in this sort of sci-fi genre anyway, especially in Britain. And so, obviously, our listeners... listen, because we've got listeners around the world, US, you know, listen to Big Finish a lot, and after your appearance, a very brief appearance in New Who, as we call it, all the people I've spoken to have said, let's have more Paul in New Who. So can we have some more of you, please?
Yes.
Great, excellent. That's why the answer is correct.
I'll talk to the headmaster.
That's what we're after. So, Big Finish, you're probably the most popular doctor, I reckon.
I wonder.
I think you are.
I've been doing it for about 15 years. I must have personally done 150 eps at least. It's been great, you know. I mean, when you think the Eighth Doctor, that's where he lives. That's where he exists. Aggregately, I've shot only about an hour and a half of Doctor Who. You know, I shot that TV pilot. I shot that Work for a Day. We shot that 6-minute thing,
which was fantastic.
Yeah, it was lovely. And so that's all. That's my film offering. So mostly, you know, he's been on audio, which is great. Fine by me.
There's a massive following for Big Finish.
Well, there is, because audio, you know, audio adventures are the thing. It's thrilling. You know, the writing's good. I mean, where Doctor Who's concerned, they're like, there's novels as well. They're like alternative histories. So it gets the fans at it, you know. And one lovely thing since Doctor Who's 50th anniversary 3-4 years ago is that the pennies dropped about the audios in North America.
Yeah,
they started buying them in their droves, which is lovely. And I think that's also neat, because they started radio drama, the Americans.
It's great to see Tom Baker doing it as well now.
Tom Baker's
doing it. And David Tennant.
Yeah, we worked here. You know, Tom, we all did them together. Tom was on one. You know, David Tennant's doing them. Eventually, Jodie Whittaker will do them. Why? Because, you know, and we're trained. You know, the actor, those of us that train to be actors, you know, radio was included in your training. That was, you know, was something that we learned to do. You know, it's something that you can do.
Yeah, but you hear your voice also a lot on documentaries and things like that, which
yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Again, you know, you work as an actor, then there's 4 or 5 different things you can do, and that's one of them, you know. Yeah. That's something I enjoy. Half of my work is voice work. I really like it.
All of my work is voice work, probably just as well, looking at my face.
Yeah, you and me, we've got a face of radio, yeah.
I wouldn't quite go for, judging by the female crew I have on my podcast, I think that's probably, in your case, not going to work. But so have we got anything coming up Big Finish wise soon?
At the moment,
thanks, Adam.
I just finished a box set with Sheridan Smith.
She should be a new Who, the real Who. She's such a good actress.
Yes, and that was great, because that had been 6 or 7 years since we'd done them. A couple of weeks, do another box set. Ravenous, we're doing them all the time now. I mean, the thing is with Big Finish, you know, the business, they won't mind me saying it, but there's only one business model. The more they sell, the more they can make. And at the moment, it's boom time.
That like you're sticking. Still doing it is a good sign, isn't it?
Well, we're never going to stop doing them. There's no reason to stop.
No,
you know, at the moment, we're meeting sort of 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a year. We're doing box sets, and people are loving them. There's no end to stories. And we're doing them better now than we did before. The writing's better because, you know, they can. There's more resources. They can spend more on them. They can do them properly. Technically, things are better, and the stories are, you know, so. In my case, it's all the sort of time war stuff, and, you know, like I said, there's no end to it, you know, and why would you want to stop, you know, as long as I have breath in my body.
And because I talked over the last the thing I did at the beginning, I'll let you do your Mark McGann bit now. So I am whoever McGann you'd like to be, and I'm listening to the 20 megabyte. You're listening. I'll start again.
I am a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 megawatt.
No,
podcast.
No, 20 megabyte. I can edit this. You're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Okay. I'm a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That is the best one we've ever had. So well done.
Love it.
I've got a picture coming up with you later. So. There we go. That is Mr. Pumigan. If you're getting bored by this,
isn't
I do apologise.
We're going to play it anyway. That was a brilliant interview, Adam.
Can I just say, Debbie, yeah. You misunderstood what I said about the female presenters. All I was saying about, I had a face for radio. I was trying to imply that you lot, you know, you were probably a bit too pretty for it. That's all I was trying to say. But you, obviously, typical woman, have to take it the wrong way.
I thought you were saying they thought he was too pretty.
Yes, that's what I thought.
I was too, yes.
In trouble with Paul McGann again.
Yes. So that was,
I mean,
cool.
He is too pretty to just be doing radio, but...
He was being a bit of a scamp in regards to the bumper.
He was another one of those guys that I thought would be taller. When I had my photo with him, that was it was like, my God, he's
no offence, Debbie, but a lot of blokes are going to be struggling to get up to your stature, aren't they?
Yes, I got officially measured today. I'm 182 centimetres. That's so, just under 6 foot.
Now, the funny thing about the Paul McGann interview is that I was saying to Paul Wilson, friend of the show, that I found it a bit daunting going up to Paul and asking him. So he dragged me over to Paul's table and said, oh, do you mind... if Adam has an interview with you later, sure. So that's how that happened. I was always going to interview Sophie because she's very approachable. So you'll hear from what she says on this interview that we planned to do it. In fact, we planned to do it before she actually turned up, because I messaged her on Facebook in regards to it. So we did. It was a long time in the planning, and eventually we went and hid behind Bam's. What was that chap called? The skateboard bloke.
Bam something or other.
His partition to do this interview.
I just hope it was recording when I did Paul earlier. That sounds pretty weird. So the bumper is, hi, I'm Sophie Aldred, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. When you're ready.
Hello, my name is Sophie Aldred, and you, yes you, are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
And I'm with the very lovely Sophie Aldred. Now, before I start, every person I've spoken to who's met you has said, she's very lovely, and I can verify that. How are you?
Oh, that's very kind, thank you. Even though I have to admit that he's been waiting for this for ages. So I haven't been that lovely because I've been doing other things.
Yes, we've been waiting in a very lovely way. Now, we met over the Skype a few months ago. Well, it might be longer than that. Time seems to pass differently in the world of Doctor Who. And we had a quick chat over Skype, which is difficult when you can't see somebody's eyes when you're talking to them. So it's a bit more comfortable for me to talk to you like this. So, obviously, the con was announced, and I said, can you come? And then things didn't happen, you couldn't come, then you could come. And you can imagine my delight when it turned out you could come, so I can actually get to meet you now. How has it been for you here at the Isle of Wight?
It's been amazing. It's been so lovely to meet. Well, for a start, it's so exciting coming on a ferry to a convention.
Didn't come by helicopter.
No, ferries are much better. So, there's something about the Isle of Wight that I've always loved. I've been here before. I came here many years ago when I was with somebody who was doing a summer season here, and I loved it then. It always seems to be sunny. There's something about the people here. It's quite laid back. Everybody's just really sort of chilled and lovely, and people have travelled from all over the place as well to come. So I've had some fantastic conversations with people. I've renewed old acquaintances, and it's been a very, very nice experience.
I will tell you that obviously our mutual friend Alistair Pearson wasn't going to come until he heard you were coming. Obviously not here today, obviously he decided not to come, but it was great. His eyes lit up when he saw you.
Well, Alistair Pearson is a very old friend and a very talented friend, and I first was aware of him obviously when he was doing the covers for the books back in the day. And I was always struck by how humble he is about his work as well. I really wish that he would realise how great he is as an artist. Because
I don't know why he sometimes has a lack of confidence in himself, but we've been friends since the moment we found we both liked Doctor Who, which was probably when we were about 20. And I've got one of his paintings at home. And he took it to conventions, got it signed by celebs and stuff like that, all the ink sort of wearing out. But anyway, enough about Alistair and myself. So you're doing Big Finish at the moment, aren't you? It seems that all the Doctor Who actors, even Tennant and Tate, are doing Big Finish at the moment.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing to do, to keep these stories going, because there are infinite stories. I keep thinking to myself, when are they going to run out of ideas for Ace? But it doesn't happen. And then I recently started listening to a lot of them back, because I realised that, of course, if I'm at a convention and fans want to talk about the Big Finish, then whilst the TV show is very fresh in my mind, because we were working for 4 weeks on each show, for Big Finish we're only doing 2 days per story, and at that we're coming in and out just doing our own bits, so it's very easy to forget them. So I'm really reacquainting myself with the Big Finish stories that I've done, and I'm always really struck by the quality of the writing, of the actors that they get in to perform them, and also by the post-production, which is obviously a big part of the audio stuff. And I think that's a real sign of the love that the Big Finish people, who are themselves, most of them, ex-fans, or still...
It's funny you say that. When we first started the show 8 years ago, I had Nicholas Briggs on, and I had a conversation with him. I feel I upset him when I said that Doctor Who on Big Finish is even New Who was fan fiction written by... Well, professional fan fiction. So as professional writers who are Doctor Who fans writing about Doctor Who, I didn't think he understood what I was getting at. But that's what it is. If you're a fan of Doctor Who and you've watched it as a child, and you can your mind goes all over the place for ideas, and I just thought it worked really well. But I think he's sort of took it as a bit of an insult. He never came back on the show.
I'm sure he would. No, Nick is great, and we've known him for years and years, obviously, since he was a fan. And I don't know if you, like him and others, at the time of the... before we had the internet or even video recorders... putting the tape recorder up against the TV and recording the episodes.
I did that.
And yeah, and in a way, that's what this is a progression of, yeah. so that you've got that long-lasting thing, so that you can hear it anytime you like. And aren't we lucky now to be able to download? Yeah.
And the other thing with Big Finish is everybody has their own idea and sort of the mindscape of the episodes are, you know, somebody, you can hear it, but you've got to paint the pictures with your mind. Everybody who listens to it has their own different idea of what they're seeing in their mind, which is, it's a really good sort of avenue for Doctor Who to go into.
Absolutely, I agree. And that's the wonderful thing about Doctor Who anyway, isn't it? That you can go anywhere in space or time. The Doctor can be played by anybody. His companions or her companions now can be played by anybody. Yeah. And it's really accessible to absolutely everybody on the planet.
Yes, and we're all bonkers as well. talk about that convention in America, which I think was Conquesterberis. I think that's the only one we're linked with now. You ended up on a table with a chap called Matthew Cressel, who was running around trying to get everybody into the room for us, and a chap called Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And I always ask everybody who remembers Kirby. For us, he's the most memorable American person in the world, because he's quite colourful and funny. But none of the people who meet him actually do remember him. He's got a tatch and a bald head, and he talks a lot.
It's lovely, because wherever we go in the States, we always meet personalities. And he's no exception. And sort of, I think that a lot of people come to Doctor Who and come to conventions because they can indulge their who they really are, you know? Like, you wouldn't find a lot of people dressed like they are today, for example, men in full lycra, for example, if they went out in the streets like that.
That's the beauty of Comic-Con, isn't it?
Yeah, and that is the beauty of Comic-Con, that everyone can express themselves the way they want to express themselves.
Yeah, and the lovely thing about that, I haven't actually been to a lot of Doctor Who conventions. I've been to, like, I did the Celebration and the Doctor Who Festival, both at the XL, which were fab. And I did one up in Newcastle, where I met Sylvester and Colin. But this is the Comic-Con where everything's here, and I think it's almost like a carnival indoors, isn't it, where everybody comes dressed as... They can basically dress what they like as long as they've got clothes on.
Absolutely, and I think for us as guests as well, we meet this cornucopia of people from different shows. And we've all got something in common, you know, like Gary from Stargate is here, and he says, oh, I know your friend, Andre Vincent, who's a stand-up, you know. And then we've got this guy just behind us here where we're recording, this guy Bam, and he's a skateboarder who I've not heard of myself, but I texted my nephew yesterday and he said, oh yeah, I love him. So, you know, I get a picture of him and send it to my nephew, and it's a really exciting thing for us as well to meet all these different kinds of people all over the world.
Well, Ben says it's a pop culture convention, which is a lovely way of looking at it.
Definitely, and there is such a range of pop culture these days for people to choose from. So it's fantastic for them to be able to come here and to be able to go, oh, there's so-and-so from something, or there's a Power Ranger, or there's somebody from Doctor Who. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sophie. I could keep you for hours, but you've got people to see.
It's my absolute pleasure. Yes, I better go and sign some autographs now.
Thank you. That was Sophie Aldred.
I love her.
She's brilliant. Yeah.
Now, upgraded a family member of the show. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things come through on the feed. Debbie Pearson joined. That's pretty weird. And Laurinix says, yep, here for half a tick, then going back to bed. And then she said, Adam's voice is like a soothing bedtime story. Thank you for that. And then she says, well, now I can't get back to sleep. Enjoyed all the con photos and Paul's voice. Well, now I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
yes, I did get, for the viewers, I did get this lovely Woolly number 13, which was the only, rather stupidly, in fact, bought one of them of each of the new Who Doctors to the convention. They sold before the convention actually opened, which was quite funny.
Yes.
They
did, didn't they?
So there was a point I was going to bring up in regards. So I remembered about Paul, but I forgot what it was now. Never mind. But yeah, Sophie was lovely. But it's been well documented about Sophie's loveliness. Oh yes, we did. I must mention about Paul. Actually, I did having a conversation with Paul briefly before with the interview. Was I took a picture over to him of him with Mary, and he said, "Oh, I remember that. That was at Chicago TARDIS." So he did remember Mary. I thought that was rather charming, in fact. Right. Sylvester's trying to butt in there. So, yeah.
Sylvester, honestly.
Yes, Sylvester, by the time I interviewed him, was getting a bit tired, so perhaps I should have actually tried him earlier on, but he did agree to do this. I'm very delighted and lucky to be standing beside Mr. Sylvester McCoy. Hello, Sylvester.
Hello, how are you? I'm fine.
Oh, good, right. And how have you enjoyed IslandCon so far?
Great. It's been really nice. It's kind of much gentler than London. The people are really lovely, kind. They haven't thrown anything. And they've laughed at a few of my jokes, so I'm happy.
Well, that's bound to happen. And how do you find this? Is it bigger than you thought it would be? I've got to be careful how I word that. But is it bigger than what you thought it would be?
What, you know, like the inside of the TARDIS? Yes. Yes, it is, actually. I was rather surprised. It's been very well attended. And we've been lucky with the weather. So altogether, it's been rather grand.
And lots of people interested in you and Paul and the Doctor Who thing?
Yes, indeed. We had lots of people come. It's wonderful that we old doctors are still appreciated by the new young viewers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the magic bit.
Yes. And there's also, I was talking to Paul earlier on about Big Finish. It's going from strength to strength.
Yeah, I'm off to do one on Tuesday, 2 days. And then the next week and the next week. Yeah, another three to do this year.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to hearing those. I've got to watch all the Doctor Who stories of the new series, of course. What do you think? Have you seen any of the new series?
Yes, I managed to see the first two. And I think, it's quite amazing, really. You forget after a minute that she's a she. She's just
the doctor.
But she seems to me more like a teenager, young teenager, full of interest and quixotic. Energy and lots of humour. My only criticism, I've got two criticisms. One is that using the sonic screwdriver, they're using that far too much.
Yeah.
I never had a sonic screwdriver because the producer thought it would make the writer's job more interesting if they found a way of getting the Doctor out rather than him whipping out his...
John Nathan Turner was a famous advocate of no sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, exactly. And so I never had one. But I mean, I'm not against them, but I think they're using it too much.
Like,
the other one is
yes.
In the second one,
disagree.
The second program, it seems to be the outer space is inhabited by people from Yorkshire. Everyone talks like that. Is it? Oh, which planet? Oh, I'm from that planet over there. All right. I'm just going to blow up your spaceship. Oh, no, you won't. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody from any other...
You know,
watching to all the other accents
like
in the world, in the universe.
Well, that's the same on American programmes, though, isn't it? You know, the Star Trek. Well, they've all got American accents, haven't they?
Yes, no, but Yorkshire? There's more to Britain than Yorkshire.
Christopher Eccles doesn't say, every planet has a north.
Indeed, yes. Well, Yorkshire and Manchester, wherever he comes from, that to me is south.
No. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'm north. I'm a Scot.
Yeah.
I mean, three of us Scots, you know, we were north. We're real north. They just pretended to be north.
So it's on the whole, a bit of a plus for the new era of Doctor.
Great. No, I think it's great. I think she's great. No, it's going to be... Yeah, I'm very happy. I think Doctor Who's safe in her hands.
Yeah, that's good. I got the air that she was getting her sort of character more from Matt Smith's Doctor and adding her own, like you say, teenage element to it.
Who knows? Yes, yeah, might well be so. But then people
and
said
she,
Matt Smith was getting his Doctor from my Doctor and from Patrick Troughton or something like that.
So, and the sonic screwdriver made out of spoons.
Yes, no, that was interesting. That was a nice moment when she picked up the spoon and smiled. Yes.
Thank you, Sylvester.
Pleasure.
And see you again at the next con.
Hopeful.
Indeed.
Cheers.
Now, that was Sylvester McCoy, everybody.
Yay!
Woo!
Now, on the Sunday, we ran our own...
You liked him, didn't you?
Did I? Yeah, yes, I know. Yeah. We ran our own Doctor Who cosplay competition, a little mini thing that I made a certificate up for, and things didn't quite go right in the big sort of masquerade of Doctor Who cosplayers, because a cosplayer playing Maleficent sadly fell over and whacked her face on the floor, and we had to wait an hour and a half for an ambulance to come for her. But that meant that we had to disperse. Everybody dispersed, including myself. I dispersed a bit earlier. So we got everybody together by the Doctor Who zone and chose a winner who, in the guise of the 13th Doctor, who facially looked very much like the 13th Doctor. If you want to get, see Tia Jackson looking almost identical, wouldn't she? She was very, very similar to her. Then go to the 20 megabyte.
She was very good. That
she
definitely deserved to win.
20 megabyte Doctor
I'm
Who
here
podcast.
With Tia Jackson, who's the winner of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Cosplayer of the Year award. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And what made you decide to come dressed as the 13th Doctor?
My friend had to convince me to do it because he said I look quite a lot like Jodie Whittaker.
Indeed you do. So have you been signing any autographs?
No autographs, sadly, but if I do, I will start charging.
Say that. Well, congratulations. Where are you from?
I'm from the Isle of Wight.
Whereabouts on the Isle of Wight?
Originally from Ryde, but I live in Carisbrook at the moment.
Never mind, we can't all live in here. But thank you for coming along.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See you again next year. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Tia Jackson, our cosplay champion. So, yes,
well,
we all had a great deal of fun. And interesting that with Sylvester taking the mickey out of Yorkshire people, Billy Kirkbyte just turns up watching the feed. Wasn't me, it was Sylvester. But yes, yeah, I think we'll still be remembering little facts about the convention over the next few weeks, which we'll try and bring to you in future editions of the show. So that's essentially it, really.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. So next week we're recording back on Sunday evening. Sorry, Rhys. So probably about 8 p.m. and we'll be reviewing Rosa, which would be interesting to see once everything's settled down, but the full ideas of what people thought of it. So until then, thank you for watching, listening and participating in the show this week. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I will.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.